The Pentagon's chief information officer has a plan to save up to $20 billion in IT spending over the next 5 years. The CIO's office will try to consolidate databases from every single federal or every single defense agency to get rid of data duplication. Roger Waldron's president of the Coalition for Government Procurement. He sees a similar cost-saving strategy for federal contractors and agencies that have too many data reporting requirements built into their contracts. Roger, it's great to have you back on the program as always. You write in your Far and Beyond blog that we have linked at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon about the current procurement passion for collecting data and the fact that it raises policy questions. What kinds of questions does that raise in the contracting community, Roger? Welcome.
Well, thanks, Francis. It's great as always to be on the show. Well, it raises a number of questions. First, with regard to data, first and foremost, what is it going to be used for? Will it be used to help make better buying decisions or how to structure procurements, or is it used to as a purely price measure in a sort of low price, technically acceptable type world? You know, there's questions about what data is really relevant in when you're collecting data. And a lot of the data, quite frankly, that the government is seeking contractors to report, the government already has it. It's just it's a shifting of the cost burden to contractors when the government can't really, frankly, manage or collect the data on its own. And that increases costs to contractors. So at the same time, there's a lot of pressure, as you know, to drive down prices, given the budget situation. Increasing the data reporting requirements on contractors has the opposite effect of driving up prices because somebody pays for that data. Data is not a free good.
Well, and that's where I was going to go next, because I wonder if maybe the agencies or the government has done a cost analysis and figures, we understand we're going to pay more. We're going to have to live with that. But if all of the contractors have to do it, then the cost that they incur will probably be not identical, but fairly similar, and that will reflect in the prices that we pay. But we'd rather do it that way than have to collect or collate or compile this information ourselves. I'm not saying that it doesn't add an extra step or extra burden to the contractors. I'm just saying it's possible maybe the government thought of that already, and that's all part of the calculus.
Well, that's a fair observation, Francis. But there's also the Paperwork Reduction Act, which applies to data reporting or information reporting that's imposed on the public. And you know, all these clauses that are created, to the extent they're seeking contractors and contractors are a member of the public to report information to the government, there's supposed to be assessment of the burden on the public for reporting that information. For example, the price reduction clause that GSA has, they have to periodically go through a Paperwork Reduction Act review and posting and asking the public what the burden of that clause is in terms of cost to the public for reporting that information. But there's also some other fundamental questions that surround this as well. And I would submit, in many cases, actually, the reporting that's being asked of contractors hasn't actually gone through a Paperwork Reduction Act exercise. But there's also other questions to ask. What is the ultimate strategic goal of the government? And in many instances, if it's, if the purpose for the prices paid portal, or you hear from GSA potentially using it as a measuring stick for, its contract prices and comparing task order prices, the FAR does address what's a fair and reasonable price. And, as I mentioned in my blog, and first and foremost, you look to adequate price competition. Did you get more than one offer? Did you get two offers? In the case of GSA schedules, the goal is to get three offers for a task order competition. There's a reason why adequate price competition is used, because it's a streamlined way. You get multiple offers, you compare them against the requirements you have, and you're able to determine based on competition, which we still believe in America, that you're getting a fair and reasonable price for a particular product or service.
You write in your blog post, it's time for a comprehensive dialogue between government and industry regarding data data collection. Among the questions to be discussed are the following, and you've mentioned, we've kind of broached a couple of these already, Roger, but I'd like to get into a couple of them in turn. How can government and industry work together towards common sense management of data? Now, we've kind of addressed the collection aspect of it and the way that you see it, that a lot of the collection has shifted to the contractors, that they have to collect it and provide it to the government. But that's, as you well know, not the only element of management over all of the data. What do you think that that collaborative effort between government and industry looks like, Roger?
Well, I think as a threshold matter, there should be a dialogue with industry, between government and industry, about what is relevant data, what data is the government really looking for, and what is our commercial practices for either managing or collecting that data, and how they use it. In that manner, different industries, have different data points. They have different information that they use to manage and understand their particular market. The government's got to look at it from that perspective and have that dialogue to see what makes sense to collect, and actually analyze and use. And with regard to management, there's an underlying concern of the management of the data. If you look to other parts of the FAR, it talks about, using prior price information and determining fair and reasonable price. And the FAR specifically acknowledges that, a prior price must be adjusted to account for differing terms and conditions, quantities, and market or economic factors at a particular time, in order to make an intelligent business decision about a current price being offered and whether it makes sense as compared to prior prices. I mean, that is a confidence factor that I think the private sector and the industry would like to ensure, remains a principle that the government looks at. There's this feeling unease, frankly, amongst contractors that the data that's going to be collected, especially at the task order, is going to be used to try to drive down contract prices. And there's a big difference, for example, under any type of multiple award contract, there's typically very little guaranteed minimum, and it provides an opportunity to compete for future work. Well, that future work are agency-specific requirements. It could be certain, significant quantities. It could be a statement of work for services that are offered at a firm fixed price. And at that point, at that task order level, companies sharpen their pencil. They give the best deal and the best value that they can. And then to turn around and have that price for a specific requirement be compared to a contract price that's just purely an indefinite opportunity to compete for future work, companies are afraid that's going to be used to drive down pricing, which may have some short-term gain, but in the long term, companies have to react to the market, and they react to specific requirements. They can't have a standing price that's based on some specific competition that was done, at a point in time where an agency needed, 10,000 widgets at one point.
Roger, you get at something there, though, that is really at the core of the whole discussion about you said LPTA, and this data collection information is right at the heart of that, and that is how does the broader issue that is, how does the government evaluate, and how do they continue to evaluate after they've already made selections, competing bids that don't have exactly the same components? And it, as services get more complex, it becomes harder and harder to do. And everybody knows this is a problem. Nobody seems to agree on a solution or even how to move the ball very much.
That's a great observation, Francis, and it is true. And when I was thinking about this, and I really thought, the FAR says something about this. And you do have to make the adjustments. So questions to be asked of government is, what information beyond price is the government collecting about a particular transaction? Are they getting information about quantities, terms and conditions? Even the Trade Agreements Act, quite frankly, drives pricing versus commercial products and services. There's differing, what was the price of a market item during the Great Recession versus today, and now we see, that the economy gets better, prices go up, labor rates go up, as the economy improves. So you have a different dynamic and climate than you did several years ago. So you've got to be able to make those adjustments to make intelligent buying decisions. So are we collecting that information? Are we able to analyze that type of information in making those type of decisions? I don't know if the government is at this point. The easiest thing in the soundbite is comparing the price of one transaction to another transaction, and price alone is incomplete data. You can think of it like an iceberg. The price is what you see above the surface. There's all kinds of other aspects and features that go into that price that are below the surface. And we're not even talking about, interesting in our conversation, Francis, we're not even talking about value and long-term, maintenance of the commercial supply chain and access to commercial innovation, which are, not necessarily things where you're only focusing on price.